We reached out to Mary Agnes Carey again, partnerships editor and senior correspondent at Kaiser Health News, to talk to us a little bit about where the health care bill is. Hi, Mary Agnes. It's John Williams again. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So let's just quick do the headlines on that. Where are we today on this sort of revised health care bill?
Republican leaders are hunting for votes. As I think you mentioned earlier, two key Republicans who had opposed it are now saying they're for it, Billy Long and Fred Upton. That may persuade some other Republicans to come along, but it's a razor-thin margin that they are trying to get this bill to the floor. It's unclear what's going to happen next. We expect to hear more news tonight about other potential changes to the bill. As you mentioned, I think earlier, there was an additional change. They added some more money for these high-risk pools that would states could apply for a waiver from the Affordable Care Act to set them up. And so we're just going to see how it plays out and if we'll have a vote on the House, possibly. We've heard some rumors. I don't have them chased down. Maybe tonight. My guess is if they're going to do it, it would be tomorrow, because they're still going to have to do some vote counting to see where they are.
Are you surprised that they're going back to this and this quickly? I thought that this thing was dead in the water and we wouldn't see anything meaningful on it for a while.
There's a couple of things to throw into this conversation. Number one, we've heard the president and Republicans talk about how they want to turn to tax reform. That is going to be a heavy lift. If you think health care is hard, taxes, especially overhauling the tax system, is going to be even harder. But they have also talked a lot. As we know, Republicans in their campaigns for the last several cycles have said they want to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act. It's a high priority for President Trump. He really wanted this vote before the 100-day mark of his presidency, and he didn't get it. So he's putting on pressure. He met with Republicans today at the White House to try to persuade them. Mike Pence, his vice president, has been going to the Hill. There's going to be more party caucuses where they all get together and talk, probably tonight and tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're really putting on the pressure to try to close this deal. And remember, this isn't the end for this measure. If the House passes it, it's going to go to the Senate, and it's probably going to get changed, and then it's going to have to come back and to the House, and we'll see this play out all over again. So this is just the first step in what could be kind of a long journey.
How receptive is the Senate, do you think, generally?
Well, they've had some problems over there with some Republicans who are concerned. One thing we have to think about when we talk about this proposal, they've focused a lot on this amendment that has emerged in the last week that would deal with states being able to waive essential health benefits and have different coverage for people that had a lap. If people had a lap,
right,
in their coverage, a lapse, you know, that kind of thing, in the pre-existing condition. But the underlying bill still has big problems. Congressional Budget Office, the official scorekeeper for Washington, has said 24 million more people wouldn't have coverage by 2026. We've got all those changes in Medicaid, big cuts,
well, can
converting
you
it.
Can you tell me what is new about this? You mentioned the $9 billion for this one pool for critical patients, but what else has changed that would cause that many members, maybe the most conservative members of the House, to change their opinion?
Well, the thing, just to clarify, the additional $8 billion is on top of something like $130 billion. So they've got a fairly large pool of money for risk pools and to help insurers cover the high-cost cases. Now, whether or not that will be sufficient, I don't know. But I think it's an observation of the calendar, if you will. Here we are in May. This Congress came in January. They've been telling people forever they're going to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act. Rush Limbaugh was saying yesterday on the radio, if they can't do this, why are people voting Republican? I mean, I think they're looking at this critical juncture where they're trying to deliver on a promise they made to their electorate.
Fine.
And they've stumbled and stumbled. I think that's why they're trying to do it, and they want to get on tax reform, and they're very eager to get health care off the table, at least in the House for this moment.
So the only thing that's really changing is the calendar? I mean, there aren't fundamental changes that are going to make this new bill that much different?
Well, I think here's the thing you got to remember. Let's go back a month ago when it all kind of fell apart on the House floor. The conservatives were the group that were very upset about the bill. They said it wasn't going to lower premiums. It wasn't going to make health insurance more affordable. With this potential ability of a state to go in and get a waiver from rules of the Affordable Care Act, and these are rules that conservatives think are the most onerous, the conservatives say, okay, they controlled a block of about 30 votes, and they say now, from their view, health insurance will be more affordable. Now the shift is to the moderates. And they are saying, we don't think pre-existing people with pre-existing conditions are covered. We're worried about waiving the required benefits. That's kind of the shift in dynamic that's happened.
Well, I want to be clear that I understand that. So the states could waive the requirement that you have to insure people with pre-existing conditions?
Here's the way it would work. A state would have to say, we have a proposal that would reduce premiums or increase enrollment, increase choice, right? So if you had a gap, the only thing, this applies to people that have a gap in their coverage. If you didn't have health insurance for 63 days, then an insurer could go in and look at your medical history and charge you a different rate than others in your same age group, for example. It would get rid of this thing called community rating. It would change that where an insurer could charge you more for your health insurance. But they would also have to have these high-risk pools that are set up. Those are special insurance pools that tend to insure the sickest people. They would have to. They could also possibly have a proposal where they go to insurers and try to help them with the highest-cost cases. This is called reinsurance. But part of the concern about this is when people look at the history of risk pools, while there have been some that have been successful, they're often underfunded, they often charge high premiums, and sometimes they have waiting lists of people who want to get on and can't get covered because, remember, if you're going to insure the most expensive people, that's going to be an expensive pool to insure. So that's some of the dynamic that's happening there.
So what do we think about that, Mary Agnes?
Well, I think that it is – the question for me is we haven't had an outside – we just talked about the Congressional Budget Office briefly a moment ago that said the underlying Republican bill was going to leave 24 million people more – 24 million more uninsured, right, in 2016 – that same office, Congressional Budget Office, at least as of this moment, has not scored this particular changes, this set of changes, this amendment. So we don't have an outside entity that has been an objective entity like the Congressional Budget Office saying this is how we view this bill. But, I mean, there are a lot of analysts that are extremely concerned that the waiving of the essential health benefits or the ability to go in and charge sicker people more if they have had this break in coverage – And also, states would be allowed to charge higher rates for people, for older people. The Affordable Care Act has that at a ratio of 3-1, and states could go 5-1 or even higher under this amendment. So there's several provisions that are giving people pause, and that's why it's made it so hard for Republican leaders in the House to round up the votes.
Okay, well, let's see what happens. Maybe you and I can touch bases Friday, Monday, Tuesday, sometime next week, maybe the year after that, maybe the year after that.
I'm around.
Mary Agnes, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
She is Mary Agnes Carey, Partnerships Editor and Senior Correspondent for Kaiser Health News.